Hello, folks, and welcome back to another presentation from Balticon 46 and Swimming Cat Studios. I'm Doc Coleman, your host. This next panel was recorded on Saturday, May 26, 2012, at 1 in the afternoon. If you've watched part 1 of the Balticon 46 wrap-up, this is the panel I was heading to when the video was recorded. That's right, this is Just Dandy, the importance of accessories in steampunk. This panel was also an object lesson to me that I should be careful when shooting my mouth off on Twitter. This panel features Electra Hammond as moderator, and Janine K. Spendlove, Jared Axelrod, Rebecca K. Davis, and myself talking about steampunk costuming and the way simple pieces of garb can be transformed into steampunk glory by the creative use of just a few accessories. I'm sorry that this is just audio, folks, because the audience was just as spectacular as the panel for this one. Enjoy!
Well, welcome to Just Dandy, the importance of accessories in steampunk. I'm your moderator, I'm Electra. How about if my panelists, starting with Doc, introduce themselves?
All right. My name is Doc Coleman, and this panel is my fault. This came out of a conversation that I had with Jared at Balticon last year, basically bemoaning the fact that men's fashion has kind of taken a bit of a short shrift in later years, and that we've kind of lost sight of the dandy of Victorian times, and that we need to do things to help promote dandyism. And there was a later comment that was that the real difference between that separates the dandies from the regular Victorian gentlemen was how they accessorize. and that kind of evolved, and I threw the comment off, the title off, as a one-shot to Pavlina, and she said, "You must do this at Balticon." And I said, "Well, okay, we'll do it, but only if we have Jared on the panel." Jared piped up and said, "I'm there."
Yeah. And here I am.
So, when I'm not shooting off my mouth and getting myself in trouble like this, I'm a podcaster, a blogger, and now a writer of steampunk fiction. And I'm done.
I'm Rebecca, and I have absolutely no idea exactly how I got onto this one. I must have taken a wrong turn somewhere. I took a look at steampunk about 3 or 4 years ago and have kind of fell down a cave and never looked back. It's even taking over parts of my home. Moving on before I say something embarrassing.
Hi, I'm Janine Spendlove, and I'll generally stand when I introduce myself because I'm a Marine, and so I feel very... anyway, if anybody should wonder why... I'm actually, based on my apparel, I'm not a steampunk costumer, like, at all. It's not really my thing. I think it's beautiful. I love to look at it. That said, everything on this table right now is stuff from our house that my husband and I wear on a regular basis.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So I don't know how many of you saw me hollering at him to come bring me his pocket watch, which is from, 1918?
It's 1904.
Okay, it's beautiful. Anyway, and like our goggles, these are what we use when we ride our motorcycle. Mm-hmm. I can talk a lot to steampunk costuming, but and I really fully believe in accessorizing. And this is not the first steampunk panel I've been on. I keep getting put on them. I don't know, maybe I have something to contribute, but I don't really necessarily do it myself. But it is an amazing fandom. I love to look and pet, and it's so pretty. And I'm with you. Men's fashions have taken quite a short shrift.
So I'm Jared Axelrod. I've already been introduced somewhat. So suffice to say, I'm the writer of Fables of the Flying City and the book The Battle of Blood and Ink, which is a steampunk graphic novel that came out this month. tour. It's very nice. Also, if you happen to look up steampunk on Wikipedia, you will see me. And that's kind of awesome. Though it has through no fault of my own, I was just in the right place. And Kyle Cassidy, who took the photo, really deserves all the credit for how great that is. But it's, you know, it's there. There's my cred. Yeah, golf clap. Like Doc said, you know, there needs to be we've lost certainly a element of presentation in men's fashion has fallen by the wayside. And so we're going to talk about getting that back, I guess.
Okay, well, why don't we start there since you seem so eager? Stand up. Talk about it.
Yeah, show off the tails.
You want to show off
the tails. Definitely.
Yeah, show off the tails, man.
That's the new outfit.
Come out and let the nice lady take a picture of
you. Got to do it good because we've got video here today.
Yeah.
But I was going to do a nice outfit with a frock coat, but just this morning I came into this lovely tuxedo jacket with the tails and the vest. But,
Explain it?
Yes.
Talk about it. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, talk about your accessories. You
talk about my accessories,
up on you.
It's actually very light as far as steampunk is concerned.
Compared to some.
They seem very like specific pieces that definitely tell a story.
Well, Jared is a past master of dandyism. I am but a humble student. So because of my limited budget, I'm taking the more subtle blend in from regular Victorian gentlemen towards aspiring for dandyism. Part of it is actually in the choice of pieces. The contrast between the lightness of the vest, the darkness of the jacket, the contrasting yet complementary color of the cravat. Well, in this case, an ascot.
the fact that you know the difference between the two is a good step towards dandy.
Yes. an ascot is, of course, just a cravat that's been sewn in to make it easier to put on. And, and of course, historians, feel free to differ with me later.
No, you're right.
Pretty much. Then I've got various pins. Now, I will admit that some people make absolutely beautiful pins. I mean, but while I appreciate the maker aesthetic, I have not yet aspired to it. So I am merely supporting those who do with my funds. Some people complain about the whole put a gear on it and call it steampunk, but there is something delightful about some of the gear jewelry that we're finding now, like the cravat pin that I'm wearing, that it's not necessarily overt, but it's just enough of a hint to say that this is not your normal trussed up gentleman, that this is someone who's, while he looks good, he's also willing to get down and handle a spanner. And that's kind of the design around the Tesla Rangers badge. The Tesla Rangers, the Adventurers Guild are both from
Airship Entertainment.
Yes, Airship, thank you. Airship Entertainment. They're the Fogos and I can't remember his name.
I think the G is
Yes, yeah, it's Girl Genius, but the designer of the pins is Cheyenne Wright. Who's the colorist for Girl Genius. And the last little gear pin I have here is actually an organization affiliation. It's the SACI pin, which is the Society for the Steamtopian Ideal. And it's I like that. It's taking it beyond just the steam and the punk to a higher level. But the rest of the things are actually surprisingly mundane. These are regular trousers, regular boots. The lovely shirt is actually a tuxedo shirt I got on clearance that was made by Synergy that I just got, you know, walking into a regular store. It's actually amazing the things that you can do just with regular clothing with just the right accents.
There are some wonderful, you brought up shoes. Ron, can I use you again? He's going to be mad at me. Ron,
come on,
these
Ron.
Are some regular mundane shoes, but shoes.
While Ron's dealing with his shoes, I'll just address.
Oh my God, those are awesome! Nice.
And of course, the hat, the nice topper.
Oh,
and
you weren't done. I'm sorry.
I forgot the hat because I took it off because it's so warm in here.
Nice.
It's by a company named Fluvog, and they make. If you do steampunk,
wearing those right now. Actually,
yes. Okay, so you know.
Yeah.
If you do steampunk or any costuming, I recommend them. Because they're amazing. You can wear them for your costume. You can wear them for regular wear.
But,
back to your
hat. The goggles I got from a company on Etsy, and it was one of these cases of when I saw the goggles with the filigree on the side, I just said, okay, those are mine. But there's some absolutely delightful stuff out on Etsy. If you want to see some of the ways that people are creatively taking odds and ends and putting stuff together. There's also a lot of odds and ends if you want to put things together, and there's some junk. But
yes.
One
there's a delightful spectrum.
I like about what you're wearing is that there is a clear narrative as far as who you are and what you appreciate. And I think that's something that people...
He's a clear narrative, too.
Right. There's
Look at his arm. Show us your arms.
Yeah, see, like, what a nicely telling accessory there.
Mm-hmm.
Not as subtle as the stuff that you've gone on, but you can go either way. And I think I hear a lot of people refer to things like ties and suit coats as a uniform, that they're sacrificing some of their individuality by wearing that. And I think you demonstrate, and the gentleman in the back, and your husband with his shoes can show how, with a small addition of accessory flourishes, that uniform then becomes character appropriate and says more about you than perhaps a t-shirt with a clever saying on it.
And one of the wonderful things about steampunk is that it is a venue for self-expression. There may be forms that must have hats doffed to them and respect paid for them, but once you've gone past the basic forms, you can do whatever you want as long as you maintain the sense of style to pull it off.
One of the things that I... So normally in the Marine Corps, I'm a pilot. I fly C-130s, but right now I'm currently stationed on Capitol Hill as a liaison officer for the House of Representatives. And one of the things I've really noticed there, because it's my first time in 12 years where I'm not wearing a flight suit and I'm wearing civilian attire daily. So this is as dressed down as I get to be, because there I have to wear professional attire. Well, half of my wardrobe is vintage clothing, and so I've had a lot of fun, wearing my vintage clothing and whatnot. But seeing what a lot of the men wear, because as opposed to out in the corporate sector where everybody just wears like your standard, they get away with going as casual as they can, you can't do that on the Hill.
Right.
And so one of the things I love, and my husband started doing it too, like he just one day 6 months ago said, I'm going to start wearing suspenders. So he does now. And I found out they're called braces, actually, since they button in. And you see that on the Hill, people wearing the little handkerchief inside their pocket.
Wearing
braces now, and the shoes and the socks and the belt buckle. And I love it. And I almost don't want to leave because, going back out there where people aren't paying as wonderful attention to detail to the accessories, and the accessories, not just in your steampunk costume, but in your everyday wear, the accessories you choose really, really set off your entire outfit. One of the reasons I'm here is I'm an author as well. And on my blog, I do a fashion post about once or twice a month. I pick an outfit that I've done or that a friend's done, and I go through, this is where I got it, this is what it cost, and these are the accessories I chose and why. Because so many people ask, and I know I don't look very fashionable right now, but because I think it's something we have lost, and so I'm very grateful to steampunk because I think it's bringing it back. This necklace right here, which is a little clock on the inside, I got it at
Claire's.
I may have got a whole little steampunk section out starting to take. You know when it hits Claire's that it's mainstream.
And that's not bad.
And I'm not, and you know what, I'm not upset. I love it. I love that I can go into Claire's and get myself a necklace that I wear to work all the time and people will ask me what time it is and I'll whip up this and I'll look at it and I'll tell them. And they go, oh my gosh, that's awesome. So, yeah.
Rebecca? So thank you. Rebecca? Why don't you stand up and show everybody all your bits? Because there are many interesting pieces.
Oh my gosh, look at the back. Just the back of her coat. The mm-hmm. detailing. I love it.
Yeah. Come on, show them mm-hmm. show them all your weapons.
The pleating on your coat.
There's such good stuff there.
High altitude air mats.
Yep.
So many people, we take the airship theme. But nobody ever seems to think, well, okay, the inside of your ship may have plenty of air, but what if you have to go outside to fix something?
No, I think
or us pirates.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a pirate.
How do you do your job staying inside the entire time? Anybody wants to take that around?
And that's the other reason I love steampunk, because there's all sorts of really cool antique-looking wings all over the place that I can get.
The accessorizing, I actually picked this up a couple years ago. It's just a Zeppelin wings, but it suddenly turns this from just a captain's jacket to mm-hmm. airship mm-hmm. in just one little piece.
Takes it from pirate to airship pirate.
Exactly, it's part of that. Another thing that I got, it actually doesn't show up well here, but I actually had the case for this compass modified so I could stick it on the belt there. Sometimes, in terms of getting into character and costuming, it's not necessarily stuff that the other people see. But this compass, it has an incline and decline.
Oh, that's nice. Awesome.
It just screamed airship when I saw it in the catalog.
Yes.
Yes. You can use it to angle up and figure out what angle upward or downward something is from you. So you have direction with the compass part, and you have incline and decline.
See the line?
You have to really work to break that, so don't work at it.
Please do not challenge him.
I knew you
said he couldn't break it.
I said it would take work and said please don't work at it.
That's why, don't challenge him. Yeah.
There's also people need to pay attention to their weaponry. That one I'm actually going to be rebuilding. That started as a resin cast replica. Part of the hammer is coming off. I'm actually going to be rebuilding it with a non-firing metal piece to work for. So that's going to be modified soon. But personally, I'd say it's what you did going for the nice gentleman look mm-hmm. with the adventurer stuff with the insignia, so like the Tesla Rangers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's my personal opinion is accessorizing up the costume should be about not just what pieces you have, but who is the character you're doing? Like, this guy, you see all the wrench, all the tools on his gauntlet. It's like, clearly, this guy's a mechanic. He knows what he does. He's equipped for it. You know, as you said, it tells the story right there. Yeah, we have the physician over there. Mm-hmm. Come on, you've got one of the best ones I've seen at this con. Get up here.
and you're such a tech, you're such a wonderful exemplar of maker art in steampunk, because I know for a fact you've built almost all of this stuff yourself.
I mean, the filter on the mask is a really good steampunk touch.
So, going with the Venetian theme of the Venetian plague doctor in a steampunk era, the mask is, I found the print, the blueprints online for how to make one. It's a plastic goalie mask. I bought it at a costume shop. It's a Jason mask. The beak is just a foam florist cone. And then it's paper mache, plaster, paint, and then a set of oxyacetylene goggles. The metal lens is a sink drain that happened to be the right size and just fell into the lenses. This is actually a set of LED lights to clip onto your ball cap visor that I cut off and put some bits and bobs on the outside to make it look good. The filter is an automotive filter with the cam cut off. Air filter, airline fittings, and this is braided toilet hose. The sling, the harness, is three old rifle slings I found in my basement, and these are Mauser magazine pouches from World War II, but they had such a big clunky feel. The next part, I'm kind of sad to admit this, but the jacket's from Hot Topic.
I was wondering. I think it's a wonderful reappropriation.
It's just
a,
it doesn't matter where you find it as long as it works.
It's just a simple black reference coat, and then the color accents on the lapels and the cuffs I put on myself. The brass tacks are actually furniture tacks.
Yep.
I've bent the nails back to hold them into place. And then these, the edges are, I found them in the scrapbooking section of a Michael's.
Yes.
You see, that's another one of the beautiful things about accessorizing at Steampunk is just all the wonderful places you figure out to get stuff.
Thrift stores.
And Kane.
These goggles actually started life as an antique pair of brass binoculars. Yeah.
And just because you think you've finished with an outfit doesn't mean that next week you will not find something that you can add to it that makes it that much better.
My next step is to try to add voice to the mask without needing the $400 that the websites I'm finding say they want for throat mics and built-in speakers.
Is that solar powered?
Yes.
It lights up?
It's a patio light I bought for a
dollar. Oh my God. Yes!
A wooden cane I bought at the same dollar store for another dollar, and this was just a piece of string I had laying around the house, so my cane cost me $2 and just looks absolutely fantastic and falls into the rest of the costume.
It is an amazing outfit. Mm-hmm. And it fits what we were talking about. All the different pieces, they work together to form a cohesive, you know, who is this person? What are they doing?
I love the fact that you just put a little screw on the side there where you've got the little your little feather plume made out of metal that you wrap the screw around it. It's that little attention to detail.
And I think we need to point out that's not just a hat. That's a time topper.
That is a time topper.
Although I went back it's in time and invented it first. Suck it, Jared. It's on camera. It's now canon.
Yeah, but mine lights up, so it's
true.
So what's your next project? What are you looking for next?
Are you ready?
I'm all about items of opportunity. I'm not so much looking out to design something as just keeping my eyes open. And if I see something that looks like it's going to work, I pick it up. I mean, I did not come here looking for a tuxedo vest, but the guy just happened to put a tailcoat on me, and I know that I look good in tails, and the price was right. So, boom, I'm in tails today.
I think that part goes for any customer. It's like we just collect miscellaneous pieces, and it's like, okay, I really want to do this. It's like, oh, wait a minute, I have this here, I have this here. Like this jacket I'm going to have on tomorrow for my sea pirate look as well. Yeah, it's just so much of the stuff we can reuse. I just have to take the airship panel.
Well, it was the first steampunk panel I ever got put on. I told them, I said, you realize I don't do steampunk costuming? And they said, oh, you can figure something out. So I went into my costume closet and showed up at the panel. It's on my website in a full steampunk costume, just out of what I had around the house. So it was a beginners into steampunk. So, okay.
I mean, we're always looking for new ways to be fabulous. I think that is just a lifestyle choice. And bringing it, you know, out of the costuming and into the average wear is, I think, very important. I'm starting to see that bleed, which is very nice. Even if it's just, thankfully, that with steampunk now, guys have to pay attention to their beards. Which means that if you trim it for your steampunk outfit the next day in your t-shirt, the beard still looks nice. Which has been a nice rollover, and I appreciate that as a observer. So there is stuff like that, and I think I certainly look for things that bleed over, and I see people who have started doing that, and I think that's wonderful.
That one is easy to break. Be careful.
A lot of stores that you may not even normally like to shop in, like your Bloomingdale's and things like that, look in the men's sections, though. I mean, they've got some beautiful cufflinks. And a lot of times you can catch them on really amazing sales, store-wide clearances, end-of-season clearances. Even doing something as simple as wearing a French cuff shirt with a set of cufflinks, I mean, that will set you apart. And trust me, I think I can safely speak for the ladies in the room and maybe a lot of the men. We like a man who cares about what he looks like.
You know, something else to keep in mind is though steampunk is largely based in the Victorian era, we don't have to stay welded to that time period.
Nope.
It's if it doesn't look completely out of place, or particularly if it looks iconic to whatever kind of role you're portraying, go for it.
Well, we've talked a lot about character, but it really goes into your day-to-day where it's like what you wear says something about you. If
Absolutely.
You look like everybody else, you're saying that you're a conformist and you want to follow the herd.
And sometimes that's what your job wants.
That may be on purpose.
Yeah, yes. I wear a uniform for a reason.
If you want to express your individuality, you can do that with little things. I mean, you don't have to be as wild and crazy as you can come up with. You can do it subtly so that you fit in and stand out at the same time. That's one of the beautiful lessons that we had from the Victorian era, was that ability to fit in and stand out at the same time.
Because somebody who went over the top crazy with accessories, then they were just ostracized.
So, no,
not ostracized, but like... No,
in the Victorian era, someone who went over the top crazy either failed completely and was socially shunned, or they were an original and they were respected and then emulated. So you either have to be all the way out in the front, or you have to be subtle about it.
And it's just all about who you are, your personality. I mean, my daughter pulls off some of these very interesting outfits that I kind of scratch my head at, but you know what? She can do it. She owns it. That's what she's wearing, and that's great. So that I think that's the biggest thing, is being comfortable with who you are as a person. And when you wear something, don't be scared. Don't be like, oh my gosh, they're looking. I'm wearing a pocket handkerchief, or I'm wearing a very bright pink shirt today. If you're gonna make a fashion choice or a style choice, or you're gonna wear a waistcoat to work, or instead of a tie, you're gonna go with a cravat. If you're gonna go for that bold choice, you need to own it. And be like, yep, if that's what I'm wearing, and that's me, and this is my style, and you're making a statement about yourself. If you kind of be shy about it or call attention to it, you just ruin it right there.
Yeah, I won't wear a four-in-hand tie anymore. after rediscovering the cravat, it's like this is so much better looking. It's so much more comfortable to wear. I will not go with the noose around my neck, four-in-hand
nice
necktie
tie.
Anymore.
Nice tie.
But of course, if I'm going to wear a cravat, I'm either wearing a vest or I'm having to wear it as a day cravat, which means it's all tucked up against my neck and it's still tucked into the collar. But it's one of the choices I make.
Okay, we've heard about going into the scrapbooking section and getting bits and pieces to make parts of your costume. What other interesting places can you go to get fun stuff?
Well, I can just quickly go over what's on this desk just to give an idea. eBay? I have no idea where my husband got me the case, but the watch inside from the 1800s I found at a convention. It's a ladies' locket. This was in a thrift store. These might have been in a dollar store, these cufflinks. This was at a convention. This pocket watch was at a convention. We have several pocket watches from Etsy. We've already discussed that this was from Claire's. This was at an antique shop, but I also travel around the world a lot with my job, so I have a lot of pieces of jewelry and things like that, around the world.
That is a necklace, okay.
Yeah, that's a necklace. Mm-hmm. These came from Restoration Hardware. And the vest I made myself. So, and thrift stores, I don't know if I mentioned thrift store, but thrift stores are fantastic, particularly for jewelry, particularly for things that you can disassemble and reassemble in other various ways.
Okay. However, if you are buying a cuckoo clock, take Thomas's advice, and please, if it looks like somebody was attached to it, do not tell them you're going to take it apart.
Oh, yes.
Walk
yes.
out with it first and then take it apart when you get home.
Yes.
Do not look at it and say, oh, God,
I can't wait till I get
the gears.
No. But I had a friend who did this amazing bracelet that she did. She found it at a thrift store, just an old beat-up watch, and she ripped the the sides off of it, pried the back off of it, and then glued the face down on the leather strap. And so all you see is the cogs and clockwork going.
Cool.
And it cost her like 50 cents to make it. And I just never would have thought to do that. And that's what I love about it. It's just ingenuity. You have to look at things, as with all costuming, kind of off-kilter with a different set of eyes. How else can I repurpose that? Like, his costume is fantastic, the example of showing all the different places he got his stuff.
Hardware stores.
Yes.
Definitely.
How much brass there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, just 90% of this, Lowe's.
Yeah. Nice.
And then, you know, Army-Navy surplus stores are a great place to get stuff.
Yeah.
If you're looking for finished pieces, a lot of my ties, not this one, but come from Cyber Optics Tie Lab, which is a wonderful website. It has beautiful silkscreen design ties and scarves and bow ties and stuff like that. I can't talk about them enough because I love them. So that's a wonderful resource. If you're looking just to raise it up a little bit, not the full the full left. Though they have steampunk designs too, which are gorgeous.
Model train stores.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see.
Oxygen supply stores.
Yeah, if you're looking for fittings and
the welding, they have welding. Some
okay.
And less replacement lenses.
Also, gauges has
tubing. My wife and I just go antiquing,
yes.
And we don't look for the all the big fittings. We look at all the fiddly bits that, you know.
The bag of stuff that the odds and ends that they keep finding, like, in drawers that they don't know what to do.
In all these antique stores, there's always sections which are just little fiddly bits of junk.
You usually and get it's it for like, nothing.
If you can come up with something to do with it, it's like there's a value for that. We've actually gone to, we went to an 18th century market day. And went looking around, looking specifically for stuff that we could either use for steampunk or for Renaissance costuming. And it's amazing that it's like we were in the time period right in the middle, and we were finding stuff that applied equally to both. The way people dress has not changed that much. It's all stylistic differences, and you can always...
From a male fashion perspective, there's not been a lot of shift.
You can always hearken to the past. You can always be a little bit ahead of your time. As long as you don't have costume Nazis around, you can get away with anything.
Anyone who cares what they say.
Okay, let me add a couple of things. One is yard sales.
Yes.
Yard sales.
State sales.
Flea markets.
Yep. Swap meets.
And,
home invasion. if you're on a budget,
don't invade my home.
Sometimes you can get really lucky, and you person's into the same genre you are.
Would it be fair to ask how you made that thing out of parts of clothes?
Actually, it's the main part is just an aluminum water bottle.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a water bottle.
I haven't seen it.
The valve and the fitting for the hose are parts from garden hose section. So I just basically cut part into part of the lid from the water bottle, epoxied this thing down in place so it probably couldn't come out with a sledgehammer. And this is just a bit of miscellaneous tubing from there. The mask was one of those filter masks from the paint section. Covered in leather, put the rivets into it. These pieces here are actually... That's what they're called?
Yeah. Okay.
And the section that's inside there, these again are for hoses. They're like the quick release for changing stuff. And then the gasket from that is just pressed down against it, is holding it in place. And this is just some random bit of clockwork gearing I got in a massive batch for way too much money on eBay.
You don't need to know what they're called to use them.
No. Well, you do need to know what they're called if you go into a store and ask.
I just wander up and down the
aisle. I hear a question and I think Tina.
Ask for your fiddly bits by name.
The problem is
I wander around and you look.
Yep, I just wander.
The problem I run into is I can't go into a Home Depot or a Lowe's 90% of the time and get any help because I'm not doing whatever the stuff is made for. That's not what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so the people there are just giving me this blank expression, you want to do what?
You mean you can't go up to some Lowe's and say, I'm trying to make a 19th century high altitude gas mask?
Or just simple,
where are your filters?
My lightsaber.
Amazingly, I have yet to find one that actually knows what I'm talking about.
Now, going into an electronic supply store to ask the most attractive capacitors there. They have done that.
eBay really is your friend, though. You really can do well there.
And Etsy, too.
Yes.
Stuff on Etsy.
Yes.
Imagine going into a store and asking for supplies to make a running wheel for your cat.
You can get your cat to run on a wheel.
Yes.
Wow.
You are a better soul than I.
Yeah, you can buy those pre-made, though. They sell them.
Well, it's like $700, though. Save money. Make it yourself.
$700.
Put gears on.
Well, they're very big.
Attach it to a steam engine.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Maybe a winder.
Okay, have you got any questions there? Feeling blanks there.
You don't have to either to make or just repurpose.
It depends on what you're doing. I mean, some stuff is easier to repurpose, and some stuff it's easier to make from scratch. And your skill level.
Yeah.
I mean, I love using sewing machines, so. But at the same time, I haven't made any of my own neckties. So it goes back and forth. Like, it is easier for me to, order a solid color necktie and have a friend screen print it, or just get a cyber optics tie than it is for me to get some interesting fabric and make the tie, even though a tie is a very simple pattern.
Oh, but no, you can easily screw that up.
Yeah.
Bias.
Okay, a cravat is a very simple pattern.
Yes. It's a pain in the butt.
I think it's a simple pattern. I'm sorry, my skill level is so high.
I apologize!
If you want to buy a yard and a half of fabric to make a skinny strip like this, go right ahead.
I've contemplated it.
Yeah. That's the point.
So really, it comes down to a combination of factors. One is your skill set. Another is definitely how much time do you have to put into it.
Right.
I made the air tank, the gun, and the goggles while I was unemployed. I could not do that right now. So it really depends on a lot of factors.
Where do you go to find decent buttons? But I've been going and looking at buttons. I can get lots of little pink butterflies, but I don't. I'm looking for not two on a card and they have three in stock.
Good, but that's Etsy is very good for that.
Jay's Townsend and Sons, which is a website that has 17th and 18th century replica buttons. And you can get them by the pound.
The Eastern Market flea market on the weekends has a button lady that I see occasionally. She's got a huge thing of buttons.
We had a question over there.
I was curious for the maker. Just how many times do you have your failed experiments? Because I find that so often. You start to make something, and as you're trying to get it to work,
sticks to your cat.
It's never failed.
It's always
changing.
Yes.
Right. It's never a failure. It's just not quite done yet.
This was the third incarnation of your guy when it finally worked.
That happens a lot. That happens a lot. And that's part of the learning curve. Especially if you're doing it yourself, you're going off instructions on the internet, or just freewheeling it. You're going to run into mistakes. You're going to find that the glue doesn't work with the material you have. You're going to find that the needles for your sewing machine aren't right for that material. And that's just part of the learning process, and there's nothing wrong with that. And maybe that means you start over 3 or 4 times, and so what? I mean, that's the point is the journey, I've always felt, not the end result.
But have you found that this isn't quite working, and then the original concept end up becoming something completely different?
All the time. All the time. Yeah. All the time. I mean, yeah, that's just something that happens. And that's beautiful when it does.
I think that's with art in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whether it be costuming, writing, or painting.
What about life?
doesn't always end up the way you plan.
If you'd gone to me 15 years ago and said, this is what I was going to be doing, I'd have laughed in your face. Utah girl, little Mormon girl from Utah, running off training the Marine Corps, flying big airplanes. Yeah, right. But I'm happy. Life is awesome.
So my question for this gentleman is, where did you get that cravat pin? Because I tried to get the red one, and they sold out, and I ended up with the green.
So he's going to throw down.
Steampunk's World Fair.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he wants to throw down right now.
Amazing.
Challenge him to a duel. It's
steampunk.
Yeah.
What's your question, sir?
The comment about the lady was wearing the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
This was just
answer for you.
So my plans for global domination include
button warfare.
Buttons. Looking for buttons. Don't use buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Who said, it has to be a button? Who said you have to buy it at the button place at the store? I use washers.
Right.
I go to hardware stores.
Well, I just wanted to point out Electra's hat here, which, if you look at it carefully, it looks like she's got all these gears.
Mm-hmm.
They're Lego pieces.
Oh, nice. Oh,
really?
I knew they were familiar. My Lego pieces.
No, they're yeah, I was going to say. No, they're not. They're not.
Sacrifices for your arms.
They're shaped arms. That's not Lego.
Really? Okay.
But you can use Lego.
You can use Lego gears.
You
don't
have to spray them. They could be.
Okay, but
sometimes sticking a gear on it really is fun.
Yeah.
And you can wear this to the supermarket.
But it's like, I'm also an adult fan of Lego, and there's all kinds of interesting pieces in Lego that's like, if you're not using it in a build, sew it onto something. It looks cool.
Or they have the T-shirt at ThinkGeek where you can actually like attach the build to the shirt.
Yes, they have a shirt at ThinkGeek which has got Lego buttons on it. And you can actually put bricks on you.
Oh, wow.
And those Lego pieces are in the junk bin at the yard sale.
Yes, that's the other thing.
Always leftover.
And it's like, well, the big thing is just go to places that have junk. Because that's junk to somebody else. That's raw materials and inspiration for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One man's trash.
Yep.
Yeah. We got a question?
No, I just wanted to mention one little thing because it hasn't been mentioned yet, and I just discovered it like a couple weeks ago. Oriental Trading.
Yeah.
They're online.
Yeah.
They have typewriter key beads. They look like old typewriters. They'll give you like half a dozen for a couple bucks.
Right.
And you can use them for anything.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people take gauntlets and put them on there as if they've got a keyboard strapped to their arm.
Awesome. Yeah. I was stunned because it's Oriental Trading.
Mm-hmm.
Oriental Trading is a great place for gloves, mask, foundations that you can build up off of. I mean, You find all sorts of things.
Safari hats. And you can buy a dozen of them. It's scary.
And actually, that's an excellent point. Is we talk about steampunk and the Victorian era. It's like the Victorian era is characterized by the British going out and pillaging the rest of the world.
Yep.
So you don't have to look for things that look English. You can go and find things that are Far Eastern, Middle Eastern,
Italian.
Wherever, Italian, it doesn't matter.
You mean you're going to strike Bali punk?
Expanding?
Yes!
Expanding off of that.
No. It doesn't have to be Bali punk. It just has to be brought back from a successful safari.
Beautiful safari that maybe
now
I can...
Archaeological expeditions.
Exactly.
Expanding off from that.
But taking into account that there's some cultural elements that you have to be a little bit more careful with appropriation in that. And that's something to be aware of and to be aware of context.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to remember.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have
you're
to
always going to offend somebody.
But if you're going to do it, offend them well enough, then you become a front runner.
Or I think a lot of it's attitude, too, because, mm-hmm. you know, if you're accidentally wearing something that someone else considers sacred, but you're not running around trying to be an idiot while you're doing it, most people are going to know.
Let's go ahead and I'll throw out one of my personal pet peeves, and you guys can take it or leave it because I'm nobody to most of you. If you're going to start doing medals and stuff like that, one of the things we were talking about is I noticed in the art show there's some beautiful wings down there, but they'd taken my, and I call them mine because I went to a lot of flight, many hours of flight school to earn them, my naval aviator wings, and they built up cogs and gears on them. And they're beautiful, and I'm fine with that because they've been changed now. They're no longer just the straight-up wings. But I will tell you, if I ever see somebody in a steampunk costume wearing my wings on their chest without them being changed, I will say something. Same with medals. Same with ribbons. If you're going to wear military medals, ribbons, wings, anything like that, they better damn well be like from the Civil War. Nobody's alive to have earned them anymore. Or you better have earned them. I mean, because that is a big deal.
To have that awareness goes back to what we were saying in the very beginning. You want to be aware of what your accessories say about your character. And if you are not aware that the things you are wearing have signifiers, then you know you deserve someone to get upset at you. You should be aware of what you're putting on your person. You should be aware of the cultural signifiers, the historical signifiers, because that's speaking for you. And if you don't know that, then someone is talking for you that you don't want.
And honestly, if you need ribbons for a character, it's easy enough to make your own ribbons. And even if you want ribbons with the medallions on the end, there are plenty of places that will do short run custom medallions. You know, if you want to create an order of the air for your group, find somebody who does this, have somebody come up with a design, do a short run, split the cost amongst your bunch, and add a ribbon and a pin to it, and everyone can have the same pin, and that says something about your group.
And craft stores are full of esoteric medallions
you can get away with.
Yeah.
But again, whoever that artist was, if it gets back to them, I love them. They're beautiful, and you guys can totally get them because they've been changed, they've been modified. I'm talking like straight up. You're seeing somebody wearing like a purple heart.
Yeah.
No.
Don't pillage grandfather's estate and just take his medallion.
I mean, my daughter has a set of wings, and she keeps them, but she doesn't wear them because she knows I didn't earn them. Anyway, sorry. That was my little soapbox.
No, yeah, thank you.
It was an important
valid. Very valid.
And that goes across the spectrum, like Stargate costumers, any costuming you do.
Okay. Have you guys got any final words after that you want to say? We're getting near the end here. Come on.
that what we've been saying over and over again.
Let's end on a happy note.
Yeah, it's... you can say so much by what you wear. And the small elements, the large elements, the amount of communication that you can say about yourself without opening your mouth is incredible. And a lot of people don't take advantage of that. And it's really easy. All it takes is a little forethought, a little thinking about what you want to say about yourself, what you want to say. And with small elements, you can project that. I think we've talked about the various ways and how easy it is, and that's all I need to say.
I think the one thing I'd like to add is we talked about people not feeling confident enough in themselves to try to pull off something. Well, unless you wear that on your face, nobody else knows that you're not confident enough. A lot of people worry about being considered a fraud. Well, see how long you can take it before somebody finds you out. It's you're putting on a character. Play that character. Run with it. Acting is pretending to be something that you're not. Go ahead and put yourself out there. If you can do it once, you can do it again. And that's how you build that confidence to go ahead.
And so we've talked a lot about the details and how things say this or that about somebody. But I think we forgot emphasize one of the most important parts. The details are details. Have fun with it, or you're missing the point.
Mm-hmm. I would just be restating what they're saying, so. Own it.
Well, yeah, and by all means, yeah, have fun with it. You know, steampunk is there for you to have fun with. There is no wrong. You got any final questions out there, guys?
What is the city's vice president candidate? I'm sorry, what?
You know, they haven't really released that up on the hill. As soon as I find out, I'll let
you know. Interviewing many people. There's
the rumors
fact checking.
According to the rumors I've heard, she's right. The vice president is his other head.
Thank you for noticing my shirt.